Tom Swaby actually was a gentleman. That's how you would describe him. I never heard him raise his voice at all, ever. Even if he could, basically sometimes he should have, but he never raised his voice. He was a very placid bloke. He never said anything. I never heard him swear. Some real women are experts at that sort of thing, but Tom Swaby never did. And of course, he lived at the house. And when Anne, my wife, had Susan, Tom Swaby delivered a little teddy bear to me to give to Anne, to give to Susan. So it was a very nice, gentle man. He really was.
How old was he when you first knew him? And do you know anything about his career before he came to Woodall?
Oh, yes. I know where he started. He started on the railway at a station called West Heslerton, which is on the line between York and Scarborough, in 1926, which really wasn't the best of times to start because of the depression of one thing and another. But of course he got a job, which was something. In 1930, the LNER closed all the stations between York and Scarborough, except Malton and Seymour. And the reason why they did it was because they were major shareholders in the West Yorkshire Road Car Company and United Automobile, which were bus companies. So they were actually getting the money without having to have the stations. So Tom...
And it was more economic to run buses than to stop trains at these stations.
Yes. Tom then, of course, got sent to Scarborough Goods. And he was there for quite a while. And eventually he gets a letter at 4 o'clock one Friday afternoon, which said, from Monday morning, you are transferred to North Berwick.
It's a hell of a long way.
It is. Basically, the aim of the exercise was, because they were overstaffed, it had nothing to do whether you were any good or not. It was a case of the fact that they were trying to get rid of people. And they were posting you from, literally, which they did again, of course, because they posted him eventually from up north in Lothian down to Parkston Quay, which is even further. And the same exercise, of course, they're trying to get rid of him.
And they were expecting him to say, I'm not going to go that far,
yes,
I'm going to give up the job.
But he didn't, of course, you see. So he actually stuck it, which was pretty good, really. It was a long way from North Berwick area down to Parkston Quay.
And did he know that that's what they were trying to do?
Yes, he did. I don't know whether he did at the time, but when he was talking to me, it was sort of looking back himself, and he realised, of course, that they were trying to make it as difficult as they could for him.
And so, did he tell you any other stories about things that had happened to him during his career on the railway?
What had happened to him then, of course, was he got called up in 1939 and he went into the army, and of course he was in the army for the duration, basically. He came out in 1946. Which means, of course, that when he came out, he actually went to York headquarters, and they said to me, the bloke behind the desk said, now then, Swaby, where are we going to send you? And they said, I know where we'll send you. We'll send you to Coldstream. So they actually sent him to Coldstream. Now, bearing in mind, of course, this is 46. He started in 26, and he's still a bottom grade clerk. Well, the army took him a lot of time up, but he's still a bottom grade clerk in 1946. So he went to Coldstream. And then eventually, of course, he applied for the station master at Methley, which he got. And they moved to Methley, to station house at Methley, and they lived there for a bit. And then the station master at Woodlesford either retired or left, and they gave him Woodlesford as well and gave him a grade. In 1955, they did what they called an assimilation, which meant that people moved up. If you were at the bottom, everybody moved up, but then further up the scale, only certain people moved up. Some were lucky and some weren't. But Tom was lucky and he got assimilated, so he went up again. And then eventually, he got to Class 1 by being in charge of Skelton Grange Power Station, which was 1 million tonne of coal a year. And he actually got to Class 1. So looking back at his career, he actually only went for an interview and got promoted once.
Was he ambitious?
No, well, I think he was happy. He lived in the station house there. He had a job which he could do quite comfortably. He wasn't pushed. You know, he could do the... I mean, we were there doing what we had to do. And he was just comfortable. And I think at the end of the day, I don't think he wanted to move away from Woodlesford at all.
What was Tom Swaby's routine? What was involved in his own job?
He used to supervise the signalman. And us as well, of course, really. But, I mean, he didn't have to once I got there, of course. He more or less delegated the job of the office to me, which he before, of course, he had to do that as well. So it took a lot of weight off Tom's shoulders, really, me turning up. And I used to look after the office staff. And he then could look after the signalman and Skelton Grange and what have you. So he would disappear. You go down to Altoff's. Altoff Station, of course, was funny. It had a telephone, and I looked at the telephone bill, and there was one phone call a day, and it was the bookies. So I took the telephone out. I had the telephone taken out. Altoff's, of course, still had the circuit telephone, so you could still come in chat. And the other one that Altoff's used to do, it was unfortunate because it began with A. And people used to look in the telephone directory, see a station beginning with A, and ring them up. Well, there were only two porters there. And they only had a northeastern region timetable. So if you wanted to go to Bournemouth, they couldn't tell them anyway. So I had the telephone taken out, which was quite good, really. But the other thing was, they used to cut tickets in half, of course. If you had a ticket worth eightpence, you could cut, for a child, you could cut it in half, sell half at fourpence, keep the other half and a clip at the side of the ticket rack to sell for fourpence when they came again, you see. But they had a bad habit of losing the other half, which meant we'd lost fourpence, of course, you see. So eventually I took the scissors off and said, you will not cut any more tickets at all. If somebody comes for a child ticket that you haven't got, you'll make a blank card out for it, you see. So that's just another story of what was going on.
When you say Tom was supervising the signalman,
yes.
What do you mean by that? What did that involve?
It was going to the... I mean, when I was a relief station master, I did the same as he did, actually. You go to the signal box to make sure that the train register book is being kept correctly.
What's the train register book?
The train register book is more or less the record of what's going off. Train coming into the section, going out the section, all the other things. It was a record of every train, both ways, of course. And he had to make sure that people were signalling correctly. I mean, one of the things that people tended not to do, there was a bell signal, which was one bell, call attention. And that was to get your attention before you sent the four bells for an express passenger train, you see. But some people, of course, didn't bother with that. And used to do just do four. And if he went in and caught them doing that, he would be telling them the fortune, you see. So he was literally going round supervising signalmen, supervising what was going off at Skelton Grange, supervising what was going on at Altoff's as well, of course, you see, because he used to go down there to Altoff station to find out what they were doing as well. So
generally keeping an eye on
them. Yes, basically, yes.
And acting just like a manager.
Supervisor, basically, yes. Right.
And did he, in your time, did he have to deal with any major incidents?
He actually was down at Altoff's one night. And Altoff's, of course, didn't have a bridge either. Altoff's was two platforms opposite one another. But the same thing happened. It was a woman on the crossing. Of course, you went in front of the train at Altoff's, not behind it. And she went in front of the train, which was standing there, and got knocked down by a train coming the other way, and knocked down probably about half the length of the platform and killed. And he was actually there that night. And it could have been me, because I used to go down there as well. It could have been anybody. There was an incident near Waterloo signal box where a farmer was in the field with a tractor and trailer picking potatoes. And the tractor ran away down the hill, crashed through the railway fence, down the bank inside, and bounced up and landed on the forefoot. The trailer came down behind it, broke off the tractor, and speared into the side of the truck. So the end product of that was they had to get a crane and pull the trailer back the way it had come, because that was the only way, because it was stuck into the side of the thing. You could bounce the tractor off. So they bounced the tractor off the track, fetched a crane, and dragged it back. So there were potatoes all over, which disappeared. The plate layers had them. So the farmer actually put a claim in for stolen potatoes, you see. So Tom Swaby sent him a letter and said, right, okay, you're claiming for stolen potatoes. I'm going to claim for delay to this particular passenger train, that particular passenger train, smashing the fence down and all the rest of it. And eventually the farmer decided he was going to be on the losing side of the story and backed off. that was that one. But the things were happening every day. I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you walk out of the top gate of Woodlesford Station, if you walk along the road towards Nelly's shop on the corner there, if you look at the wall, there's a repaired bit. And one morning I was walking down from Beechwood, down the road there, and there's a West Riding bus through the wall, dangling like that. Literally, it was literally dangling. If you, one shove and it had gone. It was absolutely on the point of balance like that. And, of course, they came and dragged that off and repaired the wall. But you can still see the wall repaired.
And did they have to stop the trains for that?
No, because it was above the platform. I got somebody one day come down to the booking office and say, I want to send a greyhound to Southern Ireland. And, hey, believe me, that is a major job. You've got things like customs clearance charges, you've got feeding charges, kennel charges, boat charges. There was about 24 different charges to make up how much this particular dog was. And, of course, they had a circular for foot and mouth disease and things like that. And silly me, did it the wrong way round, didn't I? I should have looked at the banning circular first, because there were no dogs to Southern Ireland, you see, and I spent all this time working out all the different amounts of money to send this dog to Northern Ireland. Then looked at the circular last and found they couldn't send it anywhere. Which was I learnt my lesson that day.
And did it eventually get there?
No, yeah. I never sent it.
And what was the reaction of the bloke who wanted to send it?
Tough.